Welcome to Managing Cybersecurity Podcasts, sponsored by AlgaSec. AlgaSec is the leading provider of business-driven security management solutions. You can learn more about AlgaSec at algasec.com.
Hello again to all of our listeners out there. I have the pleasure once again of talking to Professor Avishai Wohl, AlgaSec co-founder and CTO, and today we'll be talking about container security. How are you, Avishai?
I'm good. How are you, Ami?
Doing fine, thank you. Let's start off with the basics. Why is container security so critical?
Well, organizations now are moving more and more to using container technology. And instead of powering up servers or instances in the cloud, they do so using containers. And they run, and these containers are running business applications. And so securing them becomes as important as securing other digital assets that organizations rely upon.
Now, what are some of the important pillars of container security?
When you're running the application in containers, the attack surface grows and also the control surface grows. So there's more places where you can introduce controls to secure your application that is running in the containers. And I could point out three more or less. There's the area of network security, and then there's the area of the code itself. So in the code itself, you want to be able to scan the containers, make sure that they're running legitimate code, the correct code, and it doesn't have any kind of vulnerabilities in it. So that's one area that you need to secure. And then there's the network security, which has two flavors. You need to control access to and from the container, so what the container can connect to, both inside the same container cluster, so the same Kubernetes cluster, and also in other clusters in other parts of the network. And that network access control needs to be defined somewhere, and it could be defined either in an agent that's running inside the container or in the container technology itself at the level of the Kubernetes cluster or around it. So all of these areas are places where you could put security controls to handle the communication of the container.
Okay. Now, what's the role of container security in the bigger picture of network security?
Well, if I could borrow a term that one of our customers mentioned to me, you can think about it as an aspect of scale. So if you're looking at securing containers, you're talking about nano security. You're talking about very granular controls inside applications. If you're talking about slightly wider scope, then you're talking about micro-segmentation, not nano-segmentation, but micro-segmentation. So now you're segmenting between clusters or between servers in a single environment, and you want to enforce security controls over what can communicate to what at that level. If the communication is a wider area, so it needs to go from the container inside one cluster, inside one cloud environment, let's say, to an asset that's outside of the data center or outside or in a different segment of the data center, then that might need to go through broader segmentation control. So zoning technology, some kind of security groups or a firewall at the border. So there's all these layers where you can place policy at the macro level, at the zoning level, at the micro-segmentation level, or at the nano-segmentation level. All of these are in principle in play. And when you're looking at a particular container, you want to ask yourself, so what is it connected to? What is it communicating with? And where are those other sides of the connectivity placed? And based on that determination, you know which security controls you need to configure to allow that connectivity through.
Great. Now talk a little bit about the relationship between container security and application security.
So there's multiple facets to that. Obviously, an application that uses containers, so container security is a part of the application security. And when you're adding new functionality to an application, you're powering up additional containers or they're doing new things and they need to connect to additional assets, then the connectivity of those containers requires changes depending on what the application really needs the container to do. That's one aspect of it. And different aspect of it is in the structure. So what often happens is if you have one application, all the containers that support that particular application live in one cluster. And they live in one area of the network. They live in one micro segment. And so lots of the communication is inside that cluster between one container, another container, and its neighbors and its brothers all in the same cluster. Some of it goes from that cluster to another cluster or to somewhere that's not even containerized. So So some connectivity goes outside the border of the container and some remains inside. And this is actually beneficial when you're looking at it from an application point of view, and you're, let's say, in a brownfield situation where the application exists and it was developed as container in containers, and you want to understand what the application is really connected to, you can use the fact that all the containers are in one cluster to say, so these all support one application, so it's a form of discovery. You can use the container structure to learn the structure of the application as well.
Now, container orchestration can be quite complex. So what is container orchestration and why should we use it?
Okay, so container orchestration is part of a bigger orchestration play, which is, in general, I would say, related to the concept of infrastructure as code. You want to be able to power up an environment, like a fresh new environment. You want to power it all up with all the pieces that it requires and have it all function simultaneously. So you can duplicate it. You can have the same environment running in multiple regions and so on. And it's very natural to include in this orchestration also the orchestration of containers. So you want to power up all the necessary containers, make sure that they have the right images on them, deploy the security policies that the new incantation of these containers require. So be that either policy and agents inside the containers or at the Kubernetes level or at the cluster level or at the micro-segmentation level, all of these policies that need to be there to allow the connectivity, they need to be powered up and orchestrated in the same process, let's say. And these orchestration mechanisms, really, there are tools that do that. So there's various orchestration technologies that you can use, you know, such as Terraform or Chef, Puppet, Ansible, these kinds of technologies that help you orchestrate all kinds of things, and they could orchestrate containers as well. And that's an excellent way to power up and maintain a container-based application in a consistent and a repetitive manner so that every time you power it up, you get exactly the same thing. And if you need two of it or five of it or 100 of it, you get, you know, cookie-cutting copies of the same thing.
How would you introduce security into the DevSecOps container orchestration automation processes?
First of all, I think the statement should start with not how, but should you? And the answer is an emphatically yes. It's very important to include security in the orchestration process. It's not good enough to just run your script and power everything up and be happy that it works. I mean, that's a major achievement, but it's not good enough. You need to ensure that it's done in a secure way. And so you need to introduce security controls into all these levels that we talked about, and you need to make sure that those security controls are activated by the orchestration. Now, there is a twist here, because if you do things very automatically, then there's a question of who gets to control this. It's very easy to make everything work by setting very, very broad access control policies, so allowing basically anything to communicate with anything else. Then your container-based application is going to work just fine, except that it's not going to be very secure. So there needs to be some kind of checks and balances where it's not the developers that set the policy, it's somebody that's security-minded. So the information security team or the cloud security team or somebody like that should be able to set the controls or at the minimum review the controls, make sure that they're legitimate. And this is also true whenever there's a change that's being made. So if somebody wants to change the security policies because new connectivity is now required, then that change should be reviewed to ensure that it's done in a secure way and not all of a sudden introducing very broad access just because I needed some extra connectivity. So security review of the policies deployed by the orchestration needs to be done in a what-if scenario. So before the new version of the application with all of its containers goes into production, any changes to the security policies need to be reviewed and agreed upon in advance. Yeah, it needs to be part of the process. So there needs to be ideally a computerized base in the process where if there's a change that touches security policies, then some kind of automatic, semi-automatic or manual review needs to take place to ensure that that process, that the security is retained.
Okay, great. Now, lastly, when we look ahead to the future, what does secure orchestration of containers look like in your vision?
I think that the future is not entirely clear. the technology is in place where organizations can enforce security controls at the level of containers, but it's not sure if they're going to do that on a wide scale or not, because these controls are very granular. So if you want to enforce them, potentially you have to spend a lot of time setting the policies. And that could be a problem because there's a general shortage of staff and setting lots of policies is difficult. So maybe organizations are going to take some kind of a hierarchical view where, let's say, container-based security is controlled at the level of the application and the application owners or maybe even the application developers set those controls by themselves without getting anybody else's permission. And then at the broader levels of the organization, so at the micro-segmentation level, at the zoning level, other individuals are going to be involved. The processes that people follow to introduce these security controls at the various levels of the hierarchy are in flux. I mean, they haven't been fully decided on. The tooling is not quite there everywhere. So the systems that deploy policy in other parts of the organization may not be at the level of sophistication for containers that they are with security controls like security groups in cloud or, you know, traditional firewalls. So both the procedures that people follow, that organizations follow, and the tooling are evolving. I don't think we have a definitive answer of, you know, how all of this is going to end up and what organizations are going to be doing. Where are they going to place their controls, and who's going to have the power to make the changes to all of these different controls that are in place. So it's going to be interesting because there's going to be more technologies being deployed and more technologies being used. And then customer adoption is going to be crucial to understand what makes the most sense. You know, what's the blueprint? Where should I put my controls? If I need to deploy a new application that relies on containers because it's convenient and developers like it, definitely I should do that. But now where should I put my security controls? Inside the Kubernetes, between different clusters, at the network level, at the hypervisor level, all of the above, who gets to set the policy, what are the processes and procedures to make changes? It's going to be interesting. I'm following this myself, and I can't say that I know the answer, but I'm hearing more of the questions.
Great. That will do it for today's episode. I want to thank Avishai for joining us again and walking us through container security. Thanks to all of our listeners out there as well. Stay tuned for our next podcast episode.
Thank you, Ami. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for joining today's podcast. Be sure to tune in for our next episode. Want to find out when the next podcast is out or listen to episodes you may have missed? Visit our website at www.algosec.com/podcasts, where you can subscribe to future podcasts. To learn more about security policy management or get a demo of AlgoSec, visit www.algosec.com or email marketing@algosec.com.